I'm doing a podcast, Dizzy.
Hello and welcome to the Too Cool for School podcast. I'm your host, Yannick. And on today's episode, we are talking about the education of gaming, how to support parents to navigate gaming safely, and just understanding, a bit better, the gaming content era that we're in and how to really navigate this as a young person and as an adult as well. So on today's episode, I've got an amazing guest and I'll allow them to introduce themselves.
I was waiting for the intro. Yo, my name is Joe Grinds. Just call me Joey. I'm Rafa, content creator and video, not even video games, gaming room content creator. Yeah, that's me.
Okay, great stuff. So before we kick off with the questions, and the discussion points, you've transitioned into, gaming content creator, and I noted on, I think it was like your YouTube bio, you noted as well, that you're an anime fan. So we're going to start off quick fire, top five animes.
Top five?
Top five.
One just Piece, number one. Like, Luffy saved my life. Naruto, number two. Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia. And number five, I don't know, it matters how I feel when I wake up in the morning, bruv.
Oh, for real, like, it changes like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know that you wake up in a different type of motivation. Yeah. But right now, I'm going to say Solo Leveling. But that will change, you know what I'm trying to say?
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Solo Leveling, that's fresh, though. I'm surprised.
But that's the thing, sometimes you need a brain more anime to just switch off on.
My top five off the dome, I'll say Naruto. I'm surprised you didn't say Bleach, but we're not.
Nah, Bleach is not it.
All right, cool. we're not even gonna get into that. So Naruto, one, Bleach, Death Note, three, Attack on Titans, four, and Jujutsu Kaisen. I reckon, yeah, not in order as well. Was yours in order?
Yeah, that was order.
Let's talk a bit more about like Joey's Funhouse. Like, what inspired you to get into becoming like a gaming content creator? And I say this because we grew up in the era that you played PlayStation or Sega or whatever too long. That your parents are giving you side eye, you need to come off. Like, they're just seeing gaming as this thing that's like, childish, or you're wasting your time or whatever else. But now we're in an era of technology that's booming and so many things are going on. And, so what inspired you to do that, to create your gaming, content project?
Well, the room in itself, that was just something I was going to do because I bought a house and I could. And it was just sick. And like, I was living in an apartment with my wife and my middle one was one at those times there. Yeah. My oldest was whatever age. Yeah, I think it was like 12. Yeah, 12 or something. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to play God of War, but there's one house in there's one TV in the house.
Yeah.
I can't play it because the baby's walking and he wants to watch YouTube and the oldest is in his room. No, there's two TVs in the house. He's in his room playing well. And I'm like, bro, I can't get invested in this game because ain't got work. So when it came to getting the house, and I'm like, bro, I need a sanctuary so I can be invested in whatever and I can chill and all these types of things. And at the same time, I wanted a room that my kids could go in and they could be in the games as well and enjoy themselves. And no one's going to moan at them for making too much noise and that kind of stuff there. So it's like, oh, cool, I'm building a gaming room. But these times here, I'm doing a YouTube channel that I started in COVID lockdown. And I didn't actually believe in this channel. It was mad. I didn't believe in it at all. And I said, all right, cool, I'm going to build this gaming room and I'll start doing the YouTube blog or something. And then when I started building it, I said, you ain't going to continue this YouTube channel. But it was mad because like the room was called The Museum because it was going to have all my collectibles and stuff there and everything. And as I started building it, this is going to sound like mad, but God spoke to me, bro. I swear. And he said, raw, like, if you build this room, I got a sick plan for you.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know what I'm saying? And I said, all right, cool. And I started building it. And I remember as I got to the plastering part, it was so insane. I had been to the studio 2 days before with Novelist. We made a tune called How You Feel. And in the tune, I say, I'm looking Pat Sharp, left the funhouse, like as an old school reference, you might be a bit too young to, but it was like, rah, said that. And then I've come home and I'm chilling, looking at this plaster walls and everything. And God said, rah, like, all right, you've started. Here's what's going to happen. Forget the museum rubbish. You're not going to call it that.
Yeah.
You're going to call it the fun house. It's going to be Joey's fun house. And just pay attention to the steps that I'm taking to make.
Yeah.
And you're going to, well, and so all this time, like, I keep it, I have these dreams of how the room's supposed to look like. So I remember the dream and it's like, okay, so the wall was grey there and there, and this was there and blah. So I follow them and I keep seeing, if I see the dreams, it's like what I deem as successful moments.
Yeah.
So if I want to have those successful moments, then I need to make myself be in that future moment in the present.
Yeah.
So like doing that stuff there, but then as I'm building it, I'm speaking to a lot of, I've always been the person that tells tech friends. I know tech, I love tech.
Yeah.
And bare people ask me, yeah, like, what's that thing? And what's this and blah? And like, why don't you not know about this stuff? This is mad. Yeah. And then people that are watching my Joe Grand page, and as I started the Joey's Fun Out, because I didn't know what I was going to even do, I was streaming again. And people are like, yeah, what's this? And I'm like, why don't people know about these things? So then I start making videos to talk about them, because I don't want to have the conversation 500 times.
Even though I enjoy having
the conversation 500 times. But it's like, let me make the one. And then, so continue doing that. And it just becomes a thing, you know what I'm trying to say? As you know, like, doing the podcast and everything, like, I'm sure this wasn't your first, you know what I'm saying? You had to find out what you wanted it to be about.
You realize,
I don't want to talk about this. Oh, I enjoy talking about this and blah, blah, blah. So by doing all these things, I realized, rah, like, man's valuable doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable doing, do you understand what I'm trying to say? That was the most important thing.
Being comfortable.
You know what I'm saying? Being comfortable. The first year into doing it, I said, I don't want to make no money.
Mm.
I just want to figure out where my line of comfort is.
You know what I'm trying to say?
So, like, how to use this camera, where my line of comfort is, like, how to speak, all that kind of stuff, the training. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah.
And that's important, man. And you know what? I'm gonna go back to a key word that you said that stood out for me when you spoke about the room as a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's people that I know, friends, family, former students who, you know, when they explain their rooms to me, or if I see like people's rooms and I see all like the lightning and the lighting and the headphones and all of these things, I used to just sit and think, wow, this is hype.
Because we're used to...
Well, we just had a PlayStation and in a whatever bed. Room.
And a bed. Bed, you know, one's there. Yeah, chilling.
But that idea of sanctuary, like, is tapping into, like, the mental and the emotional aspect that the gaming room can sort of bring to, like, the individual that we don't really, you know, consider. So when I've got, you know, some of my former students that I still chat to, and they'll be like, yo, sir, like, look, I got this new whatever I've kitted, like, my root. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But the way they talk about it, I'm just like, this must, like, these lights.
All right.
Must mean something.
Let me explain this, yeah. I said I was building the room. Didn't expect the first version of the room that I built, that was going to be everything to me. And me looking back at it now, it's like, right, that was good.
Mm.
It was just good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the room looks sick. I'm going to redo it again soon. It's going to look sicker. And, but I didn't know it was going to bring me such peace.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I can say sanctuary now. That's not a word I would have used then. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like, if I go out into this world and I have an argument with someone, or man's around, there's always negative energy and everything, whatever, when I come back in this room, it calms me right down.
Yeah.
I can't see pictures of Luffy and be mad. I can't see pictures of myself with Stan Lee and be mad. I can't see all this inspirational stuff around me
and
stay negative. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because it's feng shui, innit? You know what I'm saying? I'm surrounded by, like, you can't come in here, this room here. Look how beautiful it looks.
Yeah, for sure.
And be negative. Because you look at it and you're like, rah, like, My negativity is kind of making me, like, feel ungrateful for being in such a... How can I be in such positive greatness and be so negative?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole thing. So when the youth them are coming to you and say, oh, I've got these lights and everything, that's positive for them. It's great for them. They're stepping further, closer to the dream. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because it's not about having a massive room. It's not about having a... You can have a corner, bruv. But it's about knowing it's that it's yours.
It's your corner.
Do you understand? It's yours, bruv. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Think about like when people have shrines in the corner of the... And they're praying to God and everything. This is their thing that they're praying. Do you understand? It's giving them peace. And that's what it's about.
Yeah. I think there needs to be... There needs to be some more research on that and more research or like surveys around like young people's voice in terms of what that experience does for their social, emotional and mental health. Because now I'm reflecting on it and I'm thinking, you know what, for someone who might be heightened or they've had like a day where they're angry, they're vexed and whatever else, for them to leave school or leave a place of work or leave whatever, come jump on a pad of headphones, and they've gone from being 100 to zero.
Calm.
That's a coping mechanism.
To calm. It is, bro. That's a coping mechanism. Bro, it's therapy. Remember, you plug in, you put the headphones on, demand them, you're playing the game, you're relaxed.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You're not dealing with all the other stuff. Because remember, like, bro, if I'm playing... I don't play Call of Duty, but let's just say Call of Duty, yeah. If I have to play Call of Duty and I have to get the most kill death ratio, KDRs, like I have to focus.
Yeah.
So I can't remember that what just happened before. Cause I gotta focus
on the man them needs you.
That's it, do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's if I'm in the kitchen and I wanna make a sick dinner, I have to concentrate on the meal.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because if I don't concentrate on the meal, it's gonna ruin it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's the whole thing. In the end, anything that takes your full focus it gives you calm. It's relaxation. It's therapy.
For sure. And I wanted to ask as well. So, like gaming's evolved. Like I don't game anymore. The last time I played anything was... This could have been COVID. You know, COVID just got...
Bare people were playing. I hated that.
Call of Duty, FIFA, NBA, 2K. I was begging people.
Bruv.
Like, give me games. And I felt like after I had my boy, I just didn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of looking back, I don't know, what was my first game ever? It might have been Nintendo 64, like Mario, World Cup 98, like those type of games. And like gaming's just like evolved. Like I'm not sure how long you've been how has it evolved,
bruv,
in your eyes?
It's a different thing, bruv. I was 2D Nintendo NES, the first Nintendo, bruv.
I don't even know.
Bruv, do you know what I'm saying?
I thought the 64 was the first Nintendo.
Nah. That's what I'm saying. I'm old, bro.
Yeah, for real.
But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, first NES, Super NES, bruv. Like, no memory cards, none of that. You know what I'm
saying? That's crazy, bruv. No memory card is crazy. No,
bruv, the days when you had to, when mom told you to switch it off, so you had to put a blanket over the thing so that the LED, she wouldn't see the LED light, so she wouldn't even know the thing's still on, bruv. Hoping that she don't change the channel onto the, you know what's there, like, because there's no saving. Like, it switched off. You got to start from the very beginning again. you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even talking about the evolution, bruv, memory cards was a thing, and now it's just solid state drives and whatever. The hard drives in your computer, bruv.
Are you mad? Yeah,
you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, how did a console become so much closer to a PC? Obviously, it always had like the components and everything, but it's getting so much closer. So that's serious evolution, bruv.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And but one of the things that I know parents like are concerned about when we're speaking about evolution is that it's created, like, consoles and gaming is created like this thing where for some parents or schools or whatever, they're like, you know what, it's too realistic. You're looking at like the Grand Theft Autos and, you know, like the women and the things. And even with like VR, I've not really played VR much, but, you know, I was with someone and they were showing me like the VR thing. And it was like, oh, like, you know, you can like go to the bar, like, you know, people are out there clubbing, dancing. Like, what do you mean? Like,
bruv, the only parents dancing? That are worried about kind of stuff, they are bad parents, bruv. Why are you worrying about your kids, what he sees in Grand Theft Auto? If he's a kid, he's not supposed to be playing it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I'm not worried about my son. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like, I'm not worried about my son friggin', like, thinking that killing is fine because he's not, my middle one, he's 7 years, he's not going to be watching those type of shows. Yeah. So I don't have to worry about those things because I'm keeping him in the area that he's supposed to be in.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, your mind is supposed to be ready when your mind is supposed to be ready. You are supposed to be put around the things that your mind can properly comprehend. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, like, the only parents that worry about these things are the parents that haven't taken the time to understand. There's an age rating on this, bro. Why are you buying your kid Grand Theft Auto? Why are you buying him Call of Duty? You know what I'm saying?
Do you know what? You're right, you know. You're right in terms of the fact that that's just the most... like, back to basic, simple thing is like, buy your kids games that are age appropriate for
them. That's it, simple as that.
I know kids who, when I was head of year at secondary school, they're playing Call of Duty, but they're in year seven.
Bro, that stuff's mad to me, bro. You know that?
You know what I'm trying to say? You're playing Call of Duty, but you're in year seven.
Bro.
Then your mum or your dad's complaining. And then I'm just thinking.
Bro.
But they're complaining to us.
That's what I'm saying. But
you bought the game.
All right, watch this, yeah. I'm not going to say no names, whatever. But someone, I was speaking to someone the other day and they're telling me, oh, yeah, like, I know, my son, I let my son play on my Call of Duty account. Like, yeah, he's only seven. But I've had to ground him. I said, why, what happened? Oh, because he started using all his foul language and blah. I said, where did he learn his language? Oh, when he's playing Call of Duty. So wait, you let a kid play a game that adults are playing and you expect the adults not to speak the way adults speak and not to rub off on your kid. Because now it's normalized swearing and all that kind of stuff. They're killing all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm trying to say? And like, you grounded your kid because you done something mad.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to? And that's the whole thing. Like, when my oldest was, when Grand Theft Auto 5 first dropped, I don't remember how old my oldest was, but I remember him coming to me. It was in primary school. Yeah, primary school. And he said to me, yeah, my granddad was playing GTA and he asked me how to pass the stage. And I said, I don't know how to pass that stage. And he said, what? You don't play it? And he says, no. Why would my dad let me play his games? And that's the whole thing. For one, his granddad thought it was normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, why would my son not be next to these type of things? It's not for him, bro.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What's in GTA? Robbery? No. Women? Strip clubs? No. Shooting, not like, none of this stuff is for this kid, this baby, bro. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? At the end of the day, like, I'm paying attention to what my son is supposed to be playing. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, my middle one, he's playing games that you have to figure out how to pass objectives, and if you fail, you have to try again and again and again. You know what I'm saying? It's teaching them resilience.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
I'm putting the right things in front of whatever. Like, don't get me wrong, I might let him play a game that's a year older than him. A year older. You know what's there? He might be six in the game seven. And I'm like, you know what? Nah, I'm cool with that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But bro, I'm not gonna put this 7-year-old in a 12-year-old game and expect him to
That's a whole different league, bro.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a whole different league. It's a whole
different ball game. But we've got parents now that we've come to an age where, or come to a society that for some, raising children is difficult. Not that it should be, but for whatever their personal reasons are, it's difficult, whether it's work or whatever else. So the easiest thing for them is to do what? Like, I'm going to give you the game. When I give you the game, you're chilling. You're not this. I'm going to give you the iPad, because when I give you the iPad, I'm going to give you the... So they don't really try to tap into the content and the age rating and, you know, whatever else, because, bro, they just want peace.
Bro, how long is it going to take you to edit an episode? How long does it take you to edit this episode? Around?
It's going to be a few days.
Yeah, a few days, yeah?
Yeah.
Bro, you could have just pulled it out raw. You could have been lazy.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It wouldn't be the best episode. It would only get as much effort as you put into, put down something I'm trying to say. That's the thing. If you want to take the easy route, then you're going to get the results that you asked for.
Mm-mm.
So if you want to pacify your kids and put them on, let them play things that they shouldn't be playing, then you're going to get that type of kid. You understand what I'm trying to say? You want to get a kid that don't respect you because in the day you didn't respect him. You didn't respect yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to get a child that basically speaks to you these ways. Because this is what you showed them in the game. Yeah. It's cool to do that kind of stuff there. GTA, you're slapping up a woman and but kind of stuff. You're going to, you know what I'm saying? That stuff. So in the end, bruv, you get what, I don't take no easy routes, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anything that seems easy, I've done that in my lifetime. You know what I'm saying? I did that. And it only led me to bad places. You understand what I'm saying? Trying to say. So if it seems easy, either one, it means that I've worked so hard at it that it seems easy. It's just got easier. Or two, I should stay far away from there, bro, because this is coming way too easy. You know what I'm trying to say?
And how much of an influence is gaming on like young people? So do because, you know, sometimes people will say stuff like, oh, you know, they've been playing, like, this game too much, so that's why, you know, like, they're on badness or they're, you know, like you said, they're being rude or whatever. Is it gaming? Is it the social context that they're living in? Is it, like, their peer groups? Or, like, how much does gaming influence that? Because I would say that when I was playing, like, car racing games... It didn't make me want to go into my car and speed. Or if I'm playing Call of Duty, I didn't want to go outside and, you know, I'm trying to say.
But it did make you want to hit the track one day and actually be able to experience one of those cars. So that's the thing. Like, don't get me wrong. Everyone has dopamine rushes. You know what I'm trying to say? But that's everything, isn't it? Simple as that. Like, you hear adults speak in a certain way. That makes you can't wait to get older to be able to speak like these adults.
Yeah, you just want
to
say
not,
that.
Do you understand? It's not games. It's everything. This is life. This is, bruv, you are letting, if you let a child, remember, child, that's all children do. They absorb. You know what I'm saying? They're sponges, bruv. If you let this child absorb this and this and this and this, this is what they do.
Yeah.
So it's normal. As I said, you're normalizing everything to these people. And that's the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got to be careful what you do around children, say around children, all that kind of stuff there. So if you want, like, if you want a rude child, then show them the most rudeness in the world. It's that simple.
No. I hear that. I hear that loud and clear. And you was mentioning as well that, like, this educational games that, you allow your children to play, or not necessarily educational, but games that encourage them to sort of build on, like, their resilience, tactical skills and whatever else. As a parent, are you intentional in terms of, like, finding out games that are educational, or, like, how, like, for parents that are listening, like, how would they find that? How would they think, you know what, I don't mind my child gaming, let me see if I can do or show them, like, other games that makes them, you know what I'm trying to say, think outside the box, build on their creative skills or analytical skills? Or would you say that the current games, like, you know, COD or Minecraft or whatever else, does this anyway?
All right, I'm gonna leave COD out of it because I said that's not for kids.
Respect it.
Minecraft, bro, it's about creating.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't even know what Minecraft is.
Minecraft is three modes. It's got, I think it's three modes. I don't play it myself. Two of my sons play, actually. Creative, survival, and adventure. Yeah, let's just say creative and survival. I don't really know what adventure is, but I'm guessing it's just like the story of it. Yeah. Creative, bruv, you can build anything you want as far as your mind takes you. It's basically Legos. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I've seen my 7-year-old, he built a treehouse hotel. One of the floor, one of the branches got a spa, the other branch has got a restaurant. That kind of, you understand what I'm saying? Like, and I'm looking at this thing like, this kid's, this is incredible. So first of all, like, it allows him to create something that take that whatever how is meant, he's not limited. Like, survival, it's the realisticness. Now, don't get me wrong, he's seven playing Minecraft, so he'd have a sword and he's chopping a cow, and then basically the cow turns into beef that you eat later. So there's no blood or whatever. But realistically, he's at the age where he's watching the Ben 10s and everything, the Avengers. So he knows, all right, cool, about hitting them, whatever. But he also knows that these things are wrong. Do you understand? So it's, as I say, he's at an age to be able to comprehend it. And it's also my job to be like, rah, like when I see him do certain things, I'm like, that's a bit much. Don't do that. And I explain it to him. Mm. Yeah, I'm trying to say he was there's some villagers in Minecraft and he built a whole room and he trapped these villagers behind walls. And he was like, yeah, they'll do anything I want now. I said, and I explained to him, I said, you know, like black people were slaves once upon a time, right? So this is what you're doing, like whatever. And he was like, oh, all right, cool, I'll let them all go. The other thing I'm trying to say, so it's like, cool, I'm on it. I'm supervising the moments, you get what I'm saying? I don't let stuff get too far in it because obviously, bruv, every lesson could be learnt the wrong way.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
It don't matter how great of a teacher you are, perspective is still, you're not in control of that. You know what I'm saying? All you can do is guide that. So like games like that, that's educational. Yeah. The game that he was playing recently, Astrobot, that's bare motor skills, bro. He's got to learn how to press one button at the same time, thinking ahead, jumping over this, maneuvering this way. You know what I'm saying? All this type of stuff there and everything. So in the end, like the majority of games that are for the appropriate ages that your kids are, bro, the majority of them have something in them. Unless it's just some complete complete mind-rotting rubbish. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that either. You know what I'm trying to say? Let them have something to switch off. Not every second you have to be trying to learn something. Sometimes just switch off.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? It's that simple. Yeah. When you watch football, you don't have to do the minute. You're just watching. You're just enjoying. You know what I'm trying to say? It's that simple. Yeah. So, yeah, there's bare games that are educational or I'm not going to say educational, but it's bare games you can learn something from. It's just that, do you have the perspective to see what they learn?
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of it goes back to, you know, a keyword that you said there. It's about the supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And with the supervision as well, you know, you're being intentional, not even in just in terms of, oh, like you're hovering all over them like 24/7, but you're there just seeing that call or even asking, what are you doing? Like you said, what are you doing?
Thank you. Like, that's it.
Like you're teaching them about, you know, whatever you need to teach them about. But even that is a learning tool. When someone can explain to you what they're doing within a game or within whatever, you know, that's a learning tool. And I think a lot of parents, because they just buy the game and leave the kids to the devices, no supervision, whatever else, that's when the complaints then come in because you haven't been able to allow them to engage in a game within the structures that you're setting or that you need to set, you know. As an adult, like honestly, like thinking back, it's even triggering me that I would ask some parents, oh, but your kid's not doing homework. Oh, sir, you know, he's not coming off that PlayStation. Oh, how long has he spent on the play? He comes home, he's on there 4 p.m. to 11.
But who allowed this?
No, obviously, no banter. And like we're grown now. Mm-hmm. My mum would have got that PlayStation wire around my neck. 4 to 11, like that's crazy. But you're still allowing it, and then you're complaining, like about the content and whatever else. And I think that's the negative. Do you know what? I feel like the negative narrative around gaming is a blame game.
Of course, it is.
It's parents not wanting to take accountability. So because you don't want to take accountability, oh, look what the games are doing. You're pointing fingers.
Most problems start at home, bro.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say it's that same. Most problems start at home. Most kids go and join a gang because they don't feel loved at home. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That kind of stuff there. So that's exactly what it is. So, yeah, nah, it's crazy. And as I said, like, yes, I let my kid. Bro, my oldest, all right, cool, he can play games as he wants now. He's at uni, he's doing his thing and everything. But I still speak to him, bro, if you saw that, all these things, what you think you should be playing for this long and you're not, you know what I'm saying? So he's got he schedules his thing appropriately. You know what I'm saying? The youngest, I allow him to play games for 3 hours, take a 2 hour break, and I let him play for 3 hours again. The reason why 3 hours, 2 hour break, and whatever, the 2 hour break is just a number that I give, let him take a break away from screens and everything. But it's like, bruv, games are something that you're going to get a like proper invested in. You need 3 hours. You need 2 hours or 3 hours to be able to get somewhere in a game. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I'm not going to give you an hour and you can't get far. You can't even dive into this world to basically be able to become one with the thing and blah, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
But in the end, he's got his time he's allowed to play computer from. He's got a time that he's not allowed to play computer after. I'm monitoring the 3 hours. You do whatever, so-and-so. Yeah. I come in the room. I check what you're doing. I just ask questions, that kind of stuff there. Not every single time do I ask questions. Yeah. But at moments when I hear something or catch something, I'll be like, oh, what's going on? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Simple as that. But like, there has to be rules. And he's only allowed to play computer on weekends and half term.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, forget that. School days are for school, bro. You know what I'm saying? Simple as that. Yes, you're allowed to watch YouTube. That's the most that I'm allowing you to do on a weekday. But outside that, no, school days are for school. It's not about the games, bro.
Yeah. And how do you set those healthy boundaries where, you know, you're confident that your children are adhering to it? Because they're going to be going to school and hearing from their other bedrooms like, yo, I was online till, you know, we did this mission or whatever else is going on. Where I played Minecraft till and Roblox until this time and whatever else. So how do you set those boundaries? And I say healthy in a way that your children are respecting your decision around it and adhering to it without, oh, you know what, I got another cold or I'm going to play on the iPad and fake that I'm asleep or whatever else. Because kids do this.
I'm very tech smart, so I'm in control of all the internet. If I ever find that, first of all, I check my son's iPad data. I can see when games are, you know what I'm saying, being played, how many hours they've been played for in dates. So if I see any game comes on the weekday, then cool, I'm just going to shut off the whole iPad.
Simple as that.
You've went behind.
Is there
my
like
back.
A specific app?
Yeah. That's it. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. It's
you're
like, all right, cool.
You're on that detective.
Yeah, of course. That's it. You went behind my back. Cool, then basically I've got to do what I've got to do because you're doing what you're doing. That's simple. It's whatever. Yeah. The video games, they're in the fun house. That's locked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. That's locked, bro. So you couldn't do it even if you wanted to. So I'm not even going to give you that type of temptation because if I do, I expect you to go behind my back. You're a kid.
You're
supposed to do what you're supposed to do. The whole, oh, bro, like my friends are playing. My son speaks to me. Oh, my friend's playing Roblox, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Nah, that's cool. Good for your friend, man. Like, because, you know what I'm saying? Because FOMO's a part of life.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you're going to be upset that you didn't get to do something, whatever. So what, bruv? That's not my problem. My problem, you are my, you know what I'm saying? I've got to deal with you. I don't care about your friends and everything. Like I let this little boy play Roblox. Roblox is meant to be a 9-year-old game. I let him play it at either 5 or 6. I allowed him to, supervising the games he was playing. And the youth kept on adding friends. I said, raw, like, how did these friends get on there? I don't know. And I'm like, all right, deleted all of them. They're coming in again. How'd they? I don't know. Deleted all. I said, if I see them on there again, then this game's got to go.
Yeah.
I came and saw it again, but I found out that he was actually doing it. Of course he was doing it. I said, well, it's a 9-year-old game. You can't play. Now you've shown me that you can't work.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that there was some fun educational math stuff servers that you can go on and everything, and it was good.
Yeah.
But you also showed me that basically I can't trust you to put yourself in danger because you're adding these friends. You don't know these people. You just want friends. And you know what I'm saying?
And that's a big issue. The safety around, like, I used to see that with my students on like the normal social apps where it's like, oh, you know, sir, look at my Snapchat, I got 10,000 followers. Or look at my TikTok, I got 10. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how do you know 10,000 people?
You don't, bro.
Oh, no, they just add me. They're just random or they try to make up, oh, but this person, that person, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
It's even more scary when it comes to gaming because you don't know who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where they're coming from. And it's so difficult to navigate. And I'll share like two very quick stories. So one, a parent from my old school, I remember, she got in touch with me and she was like, oh, Yannick, you know, like I had to take, she said, I'm not going to say the daughter's name, but she said I had to go to court with my daughter because when she was playing a video game, someone got in touch with her and was trying to solicit her for inappropriate pictures. And obviously the young lady, being, you know, wise as she was, told the mum. Mum reported it to police.
Mm-hmm.
And after police did their investigations, this guy was wanted for having done, you know what I'm saying?
Multiple. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she was like...
Luckily, this little... That's it. Luckily.
Listen, you kiddie fiddler. Like, you know, told mum straight. And there was another kid who, I remember he was playing like VR, whatever else. And with the VR, you can hear the audio when they're speaking with someone, whoever, you know, across the world. And I heard the person say to the kid, oh, like, you know, like last time when I said I was like 17 or whatever, I'm actually 14. I was like, you see, like, anyone's just lying about
any, of course.
Like, 17 to 14, you're playing a dumb game.
It might not be
that bad. And I remember just saying to the kid, but that just goes to show you, like, anyone can just lie about, you know, anything.
Bruv, I used to, I allowed my oldest to first have online friends. He had the friend from school. This was a good how long ago. And he had this kid. And this kid lived with his mom and went to see his dad every now and again and everything. And next thing, I get a friend request from on my account. It's this kid he's just added that goes to his school on my account.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's happened there? I've looked into this friends list from my son's account. Bruv, why is my man sent requests to every single person in my son's friends list? And then if he got accepted by any of those friends, he sent every single request to every single person that friend. Because he's gassed. Bro, friends, I can play with. And not understanding, bro, this is mad. Like, yeah, what, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the mum had said to me in the beginning, like, I don't know nothing about none of this stuff, like, whatever.
Mm.
And so you don't know it. It's, I'm going to say intimidating.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to try and learn it because you don't want to feel dumb. Yeah, but you don't feel dumb at the risk of your own child's whatever. Yeah, like, so it's like, she didn't know he was adding all these people and that kind of stuff there. And all it takes is for, it's not even just the pictures thing that you're saying, because that's one of the things, yeah? All it takes is for your kid to consistently be speaking to this person, pretending to be a child, and then be like, oh, yeah, man, like, oh, your kid ends up saying, oh, yeah, my auntie's going to pick me up from school tomorrow. Come on, my dad's going to blah, blah, whatever. The person's, oh, yeah, like, what school do you go to again? Oh, okay, cool, whatever. And then pull up at the school and say,
I'm the auntie.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's what bare people don't think about. Yeah, because how's the school going to know what the auntie looks like? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. Now your kid's gone.
That's the lack of supervision, the lack of asking questions like, oh, who are you talking to? Like, where are they from? Like, what's, you know, situation? And
my middle one, my 7-year-old has 2 or 3 friends in his list, me, one of them, yeah? And one of them is his cousin, same age as him and everything. And, like, he's my cousin's son, yeah? One time my son must have went to send his cousin a message. But he accidentally sent it to me. Bro, I had to say to him, no, I'm switching off the messaging thing. Mm. And he thought, bro, I'm not going to message my cousin. But I sat down and said to him, bro, you can't message anyone without me being in the room.
Because
I ain't going to make you get used to all this type of stuff. Because you don't understand this stuff yet. You're going to go wild with it. I'm saying, like, if he's on a video call on his tablet speaking to his friends, I told the parents, either one of you have to be in the room when they're speaking to each other, or I have to be in the room, but they're not allowed to speak to each other in privacy.
Yeah,
I need to supervise these conversations, bruv. I don't care if I know the person or whatever. Yeah. You don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Next thing, he's unsupervised and the parent takes it and starts speaking to him every now and again. That's what the parent, you don't know anything. So it's like, bruv, to keep your children safe. Make sure they are safeguarding. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you keep supervisions on when they're on the phone, and I'll keep whatever. So everyone's cool and no one has anything to worry about and that kind of stuff there. But like I said, that's a lot of work. But bruv, it's worth it, man.
You know what I'm saying?
It's more than worth it.
And that's the thing. A lot of people might think, you know, because it's a lot of work, like, they can't be bothered to do it. But it's safeguarding, it's protecting your, you know, kids. And what you need to understand is that the people that are online and that are trying to, you know, get to our mm-hmm. children, get to our young people, you put one obstacle, they're going to find something else.
Of course they are. That's, bruv, like, they're waiting. Find something, bruv, they're else. Looking like, for just, the parents that, you know, ain't on job, bruv. They know that there's a bunch of parents that can't, bro, be bothered. 100%. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's it. I didn't have kids to not be bothered, bruv. There are certain things that I will be lacking as a parent. I may not be doing, like, art, doing paintings with my son. Yeah. His mum will do that. Yeah. But one of us are doing, you know what I'm trying to say? I will do my things. And my thing is to be making sure that my child stays safe online. His mum don't have to worry about those things. So if I'm not inside the house, nah, you can't play computer. Because your mum's not, you know what I'm saying? It's those simple things. And every once in a while, I'll be checking my son's messages to make sure that he ain't whatevering, and checking the friends, like, listen, all these types of things. Because that's man's job.
So how do you balance that then? So you said, cool, if you're not there, they're not on the game. And how do you balance it for people that are either not tech savvy, mm-hmm. or there's like a cultural, because like my mum, God bless her, mm-hmm. she's aff, man. Mm-hmm, she's mm-hmm. not, she ain't jumping on none of these games. She mm-hmm. don't know what's, you know what I'm trying to say.
All right, so with my wife, like, this is just my thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, all right, I've gone far. I said he won't be able to play the game if I'm not asked. He is playing games if I'm not asked, but what I've done is that when he's in the fun house playing games, there's an Echo Dot in the thing, an Alexa, yeah?
Yeah.
And there's one in the living room.
Yeah.
Or there's one in the kitchen, and one in the kitchen. So my missus can hear everything that's going
that's
on.
That's going
there.
On.
The only time I'm trying to say. So if he suddenly starts speaking to somebody.
Yeah.
Right, who are you speaking to? No, come up, turn off. You know what I'm saying? Simple as that. Yeah. Whatever. Or if I've given permission, oh yeah, you can speak to your cousin in the party. Yeah. She can still hear the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Man's made sure, do you understand what I'm trying to say? As long as my missus knows how to do the most basic things,
yeah,
then that's cool. Yeah. So he can play those games and that. That's supervising him. I can turn on a camera on the TV, a monitor on the TV, and she can see inside the room and that kind of stuff there. But like, in the end, you have to have something in place that you can hear what's going on.
No, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Because in the end, think about it. You weren't allowed to close the bedroom door and play when you was a kid.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that's the exact same thing. Why are you going to allow them to be playing video games in complete privacy, cut off from you?
My house, every door's open. Yeah.
Open, bro, for their own safety.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You don't know what's going on. They might be choking on something. They might be saying an inappropriate thing. So you can catch that and you can say, listen, and you can, all right, listen, this is not, you're not supposed to. And they can understand. You always have to look out for moments where you can, if your child presents a moment where you can educate them on something.
Yeah.
Use that moment.
Yeah. And that's important. And, you know, and even reflecting back on when I was saying, oh, you know what, like, mumsy's earth, like, she wouldn't know, like, these sort of things. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's true. But I guess the reflection on that is, I'm thinking more about, like, how do we empower and how do we encourage? Because, like, when my son gets to, like, my boy is only two now, but when he gets to a point where he starts to be engaged with gaming or whatever, and my mum's either at my crib or he's staying at my mum's house or whoever's, like, whichever grandma, I want them to, like, I want to empower them. I don't want them to be like, I don't understand it, so don't bring the game or whatever else.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do we encourage and empower those who, you know, culturally or for whatever reason aren't tech savvy? Like, what's the most basic, like, what's the two basic things you would say? All right, cool, you're not about technology, but just do these two things.
All right, so, like, all right, first of all, if you're bringing your kid to your mom's house and she meant to, I would just leave the console. Forget that. I would love for my middle one to be able to bring his consoles to my in-laws' house and whatever, but it's like, as I said, they don't understand. I'm not going to force them to understand something. They're done with kids. Why don't they need to learn all stuff? If they volunteer to learn about these things, cool. I'd volunteer to teach them.
Okay.
As simple as that. But I'm not trying to make them have to go for a whole ordeal children that they never asked for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. For parents, bruv, if you're going to buy that PlayStation, Xbox, PC, whatever, bruv, you better start reading.
Yeah. yeah.
and understanding things because you chose to buy it.
Yeah.
You chose to give in to your child saying whatever. You said your child deserved it. Then that means they deserve for you to basically be reading up on stuff to understand how to keep them safe. I make these videos where I talk about like once in a while I'll put out a video online safety for Xbox, Nintendo Switch, blah, blah, kind of stuff there and everything. There are things put into place. Yeah, unfortunately, parents can't bother to read it. And it's like, ah, I'm going to set him up an account. Oh, it says I can't set him up an account if he's this age. Oh, this is, you know, I'm just going to say he's 18. Mm. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's it. And that's your own fault. You ask for everything that happens after that.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So as I said, if you say that your child deserves something, they also deserve a parent that is going to be doing the research.
Yeah. No, that's important, man. That's important. And I wanted to ask as well, so obviously we've come at a place now where, you know, esports is becoming big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even hearing about, they're doing like gaming scholarships and mm-hmm. stuff like that at mm-hmm. universities, like gaming degrees and things around that nature. Do you think at some point gaming or aspects of gaming will sort of be introduced into like mainstream schools? Because I don't understand because I don't play like Minecraft and stuff like that, I don't understand how it works. But you mentioned, I think, for one of the games, like they've got like a maths aspect to it and stuff
Roblox,
like that,
yeah.
or Roblox. So do you think, you know, with the move into like AI and technology and just technology being this like this new thing, do you think like there's aspects of gaming that can be introduced into like mainstream
I think it already is.
Education?
They're already teaching coding. You know what I'm trying to say? Like that's making your own game and that kind of stuff there. Like, so it's the small things. If we're gonna talk about esports, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So whatever. But in the end, like I would say that schools will definitely have, in the IT department, PCs that can run certain games and have an after-school club that... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, that's as far as I feel it should go, because realistically, you're not... football's got its own after-school club.
Yeah.
Do you understand? You're not doing football for PE. You may play football once in a while, but you're not doing football for PE. Do you understand? You're making an actual football club that child who has an interest can go to it and everything. That's what I see that it goes. So everyone who has an interest can actually do it rather than putting a kid who actually don't really care about these things having to go to that lesson.
Yeah.
If like, so remember when you get to, year 10 or something, year 9, you get to choose your options and that kind of stuff there.
Yeah.
All that stuff there. But yeah, like.
Yeah, I think as well, one thing that I'm, you know, reflecting on, because funny enough, when you mentioned coding, I was at a governor's meeting yesterday, school governor's meeting, and in the meeting, like one of like the other governors mentioned that, you know, there's this thing now where because so many children are sort of focusing on technology and whatever else, even with the coding, like there's people that call United Code, but then you don't even know like the basic English to now write up the, you know, like obviously I don't know how coding works, but to just write up like how you know, did your coding or whatever, like the reports or whatever else. And I think the fear is that things like the gaming, things like coding and things like the focus on like AI and technology or whatever is making people illiterate. Maybe too strong of a word, but it means that they're lacking in like the basic learning skills because you're not reading a book.
Yeah.
You're not writing.
Yeah.
Everything's online, touchscreen,
Mm-hmm.
Like how do you manage that balance?
I don't know if schools are complaining about it. That's school lacking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Realistically, that's your job to be like making sure the children have got reading time, that kind of stuff. My son still comes home with a book. They has to read 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Like, he, like on the weekends when he's allowed to use his tablet to play games, I've literally got it set that he has to read a book for 15 minutes before the game part will unlock.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm trying to say? So in the end, like, I don't see it being a problem. And if it is a problem, then as I said, the place that is supposed to be teaching them these things, that's the problem. They're not paying attention to the child. Like, everyone has strengths and weaknesses. So if you can code, but you can't write a report, your spelling's terrible, then that's showing, all right, cool, then put this child needs help with the English. Simple as that. You know what I'm saying? Like, give them some extra help. It's that simple. Yeah. Like, but yeah, I don't know, man.
No, I hear that, man. I hear that. And how do you see the future? As we finish off, I wanted to ask, like, how do you see, like, the future of gaming? Obviously, you said that you've seen, you know, it evolve to, like, a crazy place where it is now.
Mm.
Like, how do you see the future of gaming looking like?
I don't even envision it. I'm always happily surprised.
That's always
been man's journey. You know, one's there, like, as you said, you started from the 64, I started from the NES, and I never imagined the 64 when I was a kid. It was a pleasant surprise. It's 3D now. That kind of stuff there. So I don't envision it. I know that it's got potential to go completely nuts with us being on some mad VR world. You know what I'm trying to say? But it's like, I'm just here to enjoy the journey, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's important, man. That's important, man. And, you know, as we finish off, I just wanted to, you know, to sort of big you up with everything that, you know, you're doing with, you know, like Joey's Funhouse, and, you know, just relaying back to what you were saying about, you know, comfortability. I think it's important to be, you know, I had one of my guests on a previous episode, you know, Ray Seifer, and he was talking about, you know, being your authentic self, you know.
Yeah.
And being your authentic self makes you comfortable, you know. Yeah. So I see, you know, I see what you're doing online, and I was just like, yeah, you know, this is someone that I would want to have this, you know, discussion about, because I've got my former students who look into this.
Mm.
Like, but they're at various levels. Like, some are in sixth form college now, some are in uni, some have even left. But, you know, they show me love, they lock in and whatever else. And I know from my time at the school that they're gamers. And I've got even parents that I keep in touch with that lock into this. Mm. So I know a lot of them will listen to this and, you know, gain knowledge and nuggets from, you know, this conversation, as have I.
Yeah.
Because I need to think about, you know, my young ones. Yeah. Not just my son, but, you know, nephews and whatever else on the come up. So you've definitely given me, you know, some important food for thought. So thank you. Thank you for coming on as well.
Remember I said the thing about the mad thing quickly for rap, like, it's about being comfortable, taking the year to make sure I knew where my line of comfort. Remember I said, you know, like, the reason why I was building the thing I was going to do in the first place, that I didn't believe in.
Yeah.
So I never felt comfortable actually putting that in that place to do it.
Yeah.
So locked it off because that wasn't authentically me.
Yeah. You
know what I'm trying to say? And that's how short span of a life it had.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I wasn't comfortable in that position. And now when I knew to myself, yeah, this is me. Like, this is me, camera on, off, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And this is why I've been going on for so long, and this is why man makes a living off the whole thing, because at the end of the day, I'm going to do this whether it gets whatever or not.
You know
what I'm saying? I love it regardless.
Yeah. No, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. Appreciate you coming on. That has been the Too Cool For School podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on all of our social media platforms. Thank you.